Welcome back to the Touch of Base podcast. It's baseball chaos. We're talking M's again because those are your favorite team, so why not? Let's get into it.
Urshela down the left field line.
Wide ball. Pasted. Left field. And it almost goes to the left
field. Wow. I mean, wow. Cal Raleigh with another ball.
And he just yanked that ball down the line, and that one's going to sail out of here.
Today joining me is Jake from State Farm. Just kidding. Yep. Raised the Trident.
Yeah.
Good guy. Fellow Mariner fan. He's talked to a lot of guys in the social media area of the Seattle Mariners and also just overall talking about baseball. So, Jake, thank you for joining me on this. And we're doing something a little bit different. I decided to play a game, and I didn't realize how hard the game was, but I assume you're ready.
I am. I took this one took me a few hours probably to do from start to finish. And I had a couple, you know, rough drafts here and there, but I think I got it probably the best I could do. I think so. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
All right. I'm glad you feel good, because the fact that you just had a couple hours to do it, I feel like maybe I rushed mine, because I don't think it took me a couple, you know. I think it did. I think it took me 2 hours now that I think about it, but that time flew by just looking through things. So in case you're wondering, the little game that we decided to play is kind of like a free agency fantasy for the Mariners roster. So basically the rule is you get to keep three players on the roster. Other than that, nobody else, only offense. We're keeping all pitchers, all guys in the bullpen. They stay put. It's the starting lineup and the bench offensively. You get to keep three. The rest, theoretically, in a fantasy world, before all you guys get mad at us in the comments, they got traded away for prospects that won't be in the MLB. So we're signing the whole team from the free agents list of 2025. With that said, we also need to take into account the budget. This is where things get a little bit tricky, because you can only keep three. And I can tell you right now, I wanted to keep more than three, and you can't re-sign them because they're traded away to another team. So we only had $83 million to work with, and then we decided to add on that $16 million that is projected theoretically to be all that's available rolling into 2025. Of course, this we're just assuming based on what Adam Jude with Seattle Times posted when he mentioned that we only gained another $8 million from non-tendering the four guys, and it was doubling the payroll budget that we had. So I sent this over to Jake. I was like, hey man, here's the rules. Let's play this little game. Let's see if it's fun. That I thought it was going to be easy. It was a little bit more challenging for me. Clearly I made you work a little bit too hard on this, because it shouldn't have taken a few hours, but yeah. I'm excited. So
yeah, it's fine. And you know, I wanted to put something, this is a good practice for me, because when I kind of identify, when it comes to analyzing baseball, some of my weaknesses, I'm not good at roster building stuff. I'm not good at kind of the business side of it. I don't know a whole lot about it. So this was, you know, nice little practice. Granted, you know, this is still very much a fantasy land type thing. Like, it is never going to happen. It's not, but you know, still, I had to look at the players that are on the market now. I got to learn a little bit more about them too. So yeah, it was good practice. So I'm excited to get into this and see how we did.
Well, and that's the crazy thing, is it kind of puts you in a position where you're like Jerry, and you're the president of baseball operations for a team with a very limited budget, and everybody says like, oh, like $99 million, like, wow, that's like, let's build what kind of team we can, let's find what kind of build we can what kind of team we can build. And then you go into the contracts and what the market value of these players are, what they might get. I mean, we went mostly off of SpoTrack as far as contracts and stuff goes. There is one player that I didn't go off of that because it was not possible. But I'll get into that when we get there. But so we're going based off of not what they made last year, but what their market value is this season. And it's like, okay, I feel bad for Jerry, because I understand now little bit of what he's dealing with as far as piecing a team together. But at the same time, I think we're both going to come to an agreement with $99 million. We probably have a much better team than what we see right now. Of course,
potentially.
Well, and of course, yeah, potentially. And of course, like, we understand there's players that are locked in, Garver, Haniger, guys that we're spending a lot of money on that you know, we wish we could just not have at the moment. But but yeah, would you like me to go first on this one that we can kind of rattle it off?
Sure. That works for me.
It works. All right. So I don't have a visual for you, so you're gonna have to like take note or something like that. But at least for everybody who's watching this, I'll at least put up on the screen so you guys can keep track of exactly what my team is, and then we'll go see what Jake's is comparing and kind of talk about it. So tell you what, do we want to do by position, or do we want to do how we do our lineups, or do the lineups after?
I think it would make sense just to go through the roster first, and then we can go by lineups and what we did for that. So yeah, we could go like position. So you name your catcher, I'll name my catcher, and back and forth, that type of thing.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, sounds good. So like I said, we have 83 million plus 15 million, hopefully, in addition, which brings us to a $99 million budget. Wiping our entire roster clean offensively to start fresh. So I think the catcher's obvious. I don't know for you, but for me, it's obvious. I kept Cal Raleigh. He was my first keeper. And he's at 5.8 million, according to Spocom. That's his current contract. We don't need to re-sign him or find market value. That's just what he is and what we have for him. I also was keeping track of their WAR as far as what they were able to produce last season. And Cal Raleigh put out a 4.7 WAR, which I think plays a big role considering we missed the playoffs by one game. So if we can find like an increase in WAR, I mean, even by one game, obviously we're in the playoffs and then, you know, and then some possibly. So,
okay. Yeah. So for catcher, I also kept Cal Raleigh. In my opinion, he's potentially the best catcher in the game. So it's hard to let him go. I did go off of, for the people I kept what the Spotrac said their 2025 payroll was projected to be, which I guess a little teaser, all of my guys are either in arbitration or are have, you know, extensions already. So, you know, little teaser on who I'm probably keeping on that, but I just went off of what Spotrac said the 2025 cash would be. So for that, it said 4.85 mil for Cal. So that's what I factored into my payroll. So regardless, keeping the best catcher in the game for under $5 million is a no-brainer. He's going to give you 20 to 30 bombs, maybe even more. Obviously, his batting average isn't great, but who cares? Like, he's going to continue being like that field general of the pitching staff and keeping them going to their best performance. Same with the bullpen as well. So it just, there's not a whole lot you can say about Cal Raleigh as far as, you know, what almost like what he doesn't do well. Like, it's just, it's easier to say that, which is barely anything. It's just hitting for average. Everything else he's exquisite at. So had to keep him, especially for under $5 million. Like, I'll take it.
Yeah, and if you're hitting over if you're hitting over 200, even by the slightest, I think what he finish at like 217
average. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
But if you're hitting over 30 bombs at that point, it's like every 5 at bats you're hitting a homer, and every 10 at bats or something like that. So, I mean, I think you're pretty good with choosing him. And yeah, as far as him being the best catcher in baseball, I think that's more factual. Defensively, he's obviously number 1. And then tell me another catcher who hit as many bombs as he did and had...
He leads the league in home runs. So he has the clutch factor. I mean, we've seen it like in high leverage positions. He comes through, and he has for years now. I don't see that going away. So he's just a very potentially one of the most valuable players that you can possibly have. And when I was talking to Jordan Schusterman on my channel a couple weeks ago, you know, I asked him about the importance of Cal Raleigh, and he's just like, you know, for every team, it is so important to just know who your catcher is. And I mean, for me, knowing Cal Raleigh is your catcher has got to make you feel pretty good. So makes me feel good enough to keep him.
And 3 years of control.
Absolutely.
Yep. That I think is another big one. Just club control with him. And then, I mean, for how cheap he is, it's like, oh man, we're looking out. But at the same time, I hope they do right by him. And when they give him an extension, they pay him the money he deserves. Of course.
I hope so.
I don't think we're going to probably see that for a couple of years though now. Just given their budget and what ownership wants to do. So, which is understandable, yep. I guess, because if you got him for 3 years, keep him for 3 years and then offer him money at that third year, I guess.
Yep.
So first base, I went crazy with it. I went with Christian Walker. I was going to choose a couple player. I was going to either I go insane and we have mediocre players at every position and we get Soto, but at the same time, I also was going to do a caveat with Soto and say, you know, it was probably going to be around 60 mil, not 36 mil, which is what Spotrac predicted his market value would be. Like, let's be honest, it's a bidding war at this point. So I was like, all right, as childish as I want to be about this, that just doesn't make any sense. So I was like, all right, my big guy is going to be Christian Walker for first base. I understand we have Raley. I understand that we had Turner and there's Santana and stuff, but considering Christian Walker's projected market value is 22.1 mil, I figured that was on the high end, but it wasn't too high. That would just destroy the rest of the team. And plus, I mean, of all of the first basemen, he put up a 2.5 war, which compared to what we had last year, which would be Justin Turner. Technically, I understand he was like half of the season. It's still one more. It's one more war than what Justin Turner had, who had a 1.5 war. So that's kind of what I was basing my my comparisons on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we ended up agreeing at first base. I also took Christian Walker. I felt like he's just, for me, I see him as a guy who can really just hold down the infield and be that like captain of the infield, more or less. He is a gold glove player. I mean, he's won 3 gold gloves in the last 3 years. So, I mean, the dude is great defensively. He has 25 to 40 home run power. And it's just, that's not something we've had at first base for a while now, especially, you know, with Ty France, he's not hitting 25 to 40 bombs at all. And so to have that is just so important for, because that's what the position's supposed to be. First base and third base are supposed to be kind of your sluggers. And we're getting back to that with Christian Walker. And he's I feel like a kind of a veteran at this point. And I think that's important.
Oh, for sure.
So he's just more of a really steady player to slot in. You know what you're going to get with him. He has pretty much been hovering around the same WRC plus like for the last 4 seasons now. So he's been an above league average bat every single time, and he has, you know, the potential to be the best first baseman in the league. He has that potential, so it's hard for me not to take him. One of my friends, Aaron, he writes for the Diamondbacks on Sports Illustrated, so, you know, okay. I know enough about Walker because, you know, he makes a clear to tell me when D-backs players are going really well, and I know he really wants Walker back, and I really want Walker to be in a Mariners uniform. And I'm not even talking just on this game, like just in general, it would be awesome if they were to pick him up. He's kind of, you know, obviously I know, you know, Juan Soto would be great. Some people say Pete Alonso too, for if the Mariners were going to get that big bat. For me, it's Christian Walker. I mean, if you can get him and he can hold down first base for you for the next 5, 6, maybe even more years, you're going to be, I think you're in a good position for success. So yeah, we agree on that. Christian Walker, I think, is also my biggest fish of this game too.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about Pete Alonso is just it's a bad taste in my mouth. I just don't see him coming. If he were like even fantasy or real life, but if I were to see Pete Alonso in American or a Mariners uniform and then come in T-Mobile Park, and I just feel like it would be one of those like, got it, signed a contract, I'm on my way to retirement. It just wouldn't be the same. It'd be like a Richie Sexton after he was, you know, with the Brewers, and it was just kind of like, yeah, it's a couple of bombs here and there, but, you know, doesn't get on base as much, you know, strikes out a lot. That was kind of my biggest worry. And then on top of that, just for Mets fan, I just feel like they would be the biggest like middle finger to New York. Cause I think that they, after they came so close over this last season, losing their franchise face, like literally like their homegrown franchise face. It just doesn't feel right. And Christian Walker, I mean, he's been with a couple teams. Yeah, he's made his name with the Diamondbacks, and I'm a Diamondbacks fan myself. But I also understand that ownership loves ball. That owner is a avid like baseball card collector. He has one of the 52 mantles. Like, I'm a big baseball card guy. Like, I rip stuff all the time. I got Topps update over there I need to open, and I got a couple other things. So like, seeing someone that's like at their heart as an owner, a fan, and it's not just a business plug, I have confidence that the Diamondbacks will be able to replace him if they don't sign him. But I also think he's going back to Arizona just probably because he's had that success there. Defensively, he's a whiz, which tells me that he can see the ball defensively when it's being thrown to him perfectly. He's not losing that by any means. And he's got a massive fan base. Plus, it's Arizona. It's nice weather. I would enjoy that way more than Seattle. You know, I completely get it. And with a team that went to the World Series and unfortunately got knocked out this last season due to some interesting circumstances due to weather, which is crazy to me.
I know
they blew it at the end, but I would love to have him on our team. Real life, I think he's probably going back to Arizona.
Yeah, you're probably right. But you know, and when we're talking about the roster building portion, especially of this game, I mean, we have to realize that the Mariners are, you know, we always talk about them as a run prevention team, especially their pitching. So putting a really strong defense behind them was kind of my goal for the most part, because the last couple of years it felt like we haven't really had like a good defense per se behind our pitchers, which has probably led to some runs and some losses in general. So having a guy like Walker at first base, who has won, like I said, multiple gold gloves, especially recently, it's hard to look over that. I mean, Pete Alonso is not giving you a gold glove first base defense, but Christian Walker is, and he's a really just solid, consistent bat, which, I mean, what have we been talking about the last couple of years and what kind of bats we need? We need consistent bats.
Yeah, exactly.
So he just feels like the perfect get for the Mariners at this point. Outside of Juan Soto, he's perfect for every team. But Christian Walker, I think, is the next best free agent on the market, period.
Yeah. And, you know, I have this kind of like this side caveat when it comes to Juan Soto. It has nothing to do with this at this point, but I honestly think signing, and this is a hot take I think most people would disagree with me on, but I think Juan Soto would actually be bad to if he came to Seattle. Like, it'd be a bad idea.
Yeah. All your money would go into that.
Well, not even financially. I just mean sealing that assumption, that stereotype that has been going around a lot, that T-Mobile Park is where batters go to die. And I can imagine they're like, hey, you're $700 million, 18 years, will you take it? And he says yes, and he comes to Seattle, and he's batting .235, and he's got 26 home runs, and it's like, this guy is incredible, but in Seattle, he sucks, you know? It's like, okay, that would seal the deal to where we would never get another good player again. Until they change the stadium in some way. That's just a take, though, whether or not that's actually ever.
It's hard for me to believe that he would be, I don't know. He feels like enough of a generational talent. Like, I don't really think it matters where he ends up going. Like, I think he's going to post regardless.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the other thing you have to point at is, I'm sorry, but Juan Soto he's a big market guy. Like, he needs to be playing in a New York, in an LA, and you know, I know the Boston Red Sox have been kind of one of the potential big ones right now.
Yeah,
but still, I mean, Boston Red Sox, I mean, who, even people who don't know baseball, they know Boston Red Sox, they know Dodgers, they know Yankees, like that. You know, I think I don't know if he would say yes, regardless if we match the offer from anyone else, but that's the thing too, right? Is that, you know, we're a mid market team. We're a little bit of a higher mid market team. I mean, we're closer to like 13th or 12th, I think.
Yeah.
But still, it's just, I don't know. Like, that would be so it would just feel strange. Like, even as a Mariners fan, it would just feel so strange seeing a guy of that caliber. Not, once again, not saying that I don't want him. Of course, I would love to have Juan Soto on the Mariners. Sure. Like, you would be out of your mind to say no. I just think from like an optic standpoint, that'd be just so strange to see him playing in Seattle in comparison to in LA or New York or something. So
it's like Pete Alonso. It would just be weird.
Yeah.
It's like, even Randy was weird seeing him in a Mariners uniform. I was like, oh my God, like, is this for real?
We were a big upgrade though, like in market size compared to Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah. Which you is know? Wild to think yeah. about. We're always that. Complaining about our budget and all this stuff. And then we look at the Rays and we have a larger market than the Orioles.
Yeah. I know it's weird, but I would love Soto, but I think Walker is the kind of guy who he's not going to be out of place, you know, whereas I feel like Juan Soto would just feel super out of place.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I can see Christian Walker here. I mean, that's what I would hope for. That's who I would choose if I was rebuilding this roster. Cal Raleigh and Christian Walker is the first two. I mean, we both agree on that. That's already like a juggernaut kind of sounding start. Of course, we're going to lose money real quick.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So second base gets weird for me. This is where I had to do a little bit extra searching. Initially, I went with Ha-Sung Kim.
Okay.
And then I was thinking, all right, his projected market is like 12.5 mil. It's like it's steep. We're really starting to cut in. That's like another JP Crawford. He just had surgery. Is he going to be back again? He had a iffy kind of season this last season before he got hurt. Wasn't like his like platinum gun or his golden glove. He didn't get platinum glove, I don't believe, but his golden glove the year before and where he was hitting well and everything like that. So I erased him real quick and then I had to start digging because I was like, all right, I don't want Gleyber Torres. I don't want to go out and get like Solano. I mean, it would be a cheap option, but I would like to have something solid at second for the first time ever, it seems, since Cano.
Yep.
So obviously it was like, all right, I'm going to go international then. And everybody's talked about him. I thought it would be his cousin or something, but it's not. They're not even related. But Ha-Sung Kim from Korea, who's getting posted. Now, he's estimated to make 8 mil, and he is a gold glover over in the KBO. He hit, I believe, like 237 this last year. He had a 118 WRC plus this last season, and then he had a 137 WRC plus in 2023. And then in 2022, he had a 119 WRC plus. So he's relatively consistently over average, and that I understand it's KBO. So take what you want, but that's still good. If he's performing better than average for a consistent amount of years, he's probably going to be somewhat competitive in the MLB. So here's the thing though. The reason why I had to double check on all this. So he recorded a 4.4 F4 in 2022 when he had a 119 WRC plus. So I figured that he probably this last season, since there was nothing recorded, got about a 3.5 WAR because he had a 118, so one less WRC plus than 2022 this season. And he's going to projected to be signed with an $8 million deal or 20 some odd mil for 3 years. But he has a posting fee of $4.8 million. So that literally puts him at almost identical to Ha-Sung Kim. But difference is, I understand he's like a slap hitter, but he makes contact. He gets on base. I think the Mariners really need that. I think this team would really need that. He would cost about the same. And he hasn't had an injury. He hasn't been plagued by injury. He hasn't had surgery recently. And he's a gold glover in the KBO. Whether or not that translates to here, but defensively, the baseball diamond is the same size. It's not like they changed up the bases. Like distance is a little bit different. Everything's the same. They're still 90 feet. He's still used to that position. I just felt like I can trust in him if I'm paying the same amount of money than trusting in Ha-Sung Kim, who now has an injury and is a lot older. So I did Ha-Sung Kim. I think I'm saying his name right.
Okay. Yeah, so I stayed in the MLB for this one, and this is easily my most potentially controversial pick. Also, potentially, this is a I'm going to take the Jerry rules here, and I'm going to get a potential very cheap bounce back candidate. I took Brandon Drury and I will explain why. Okay. This is going to be hard to explain because he had a basically Colton Wong-esque season last year.
Yes.
Okay. So the one thing I will say as a caveat to that is that he missed part of the season due to injury. He was having, I think, back issues. I want to say it might've been something different.
Which scares me.
Absolutely. But that also means that to me, I could see that being the reason why he was having such a hard time last year. And I'm not privy to what his injury status is now. I don't know how good that's been healing. I don't know if he's back to feeling 100%. So I'm taking this in a hypothetical world that he is feeling 100% ready to go for 2025. Prior to last year, he was a silver slugger in 2022. He had a solid year in 2023 with a 114 OPS plus, and he was a very solid defender too. Not, you know, gold glove caliber, but just solid defender. So for me, I see that and I'm like, you know, maybe, and you know, I get that the Mariners specifically have been burnt by this exact same way of going about this in recent years of, well, he was a really good player before, so, you know, maybe this is the place he bounces back. You know, I'm taking the gamble here because on SpoTrack, $1.2 million for a guy who just a couple years ago was a silver slugger and was just a generally good player, like a good just all-around player prior to last year. I'm taking that risk. Now, I will say on my bench, I have other people to hopefully help just in case he's having a problem or, you know, in case he's still struggling.
Possible platoon plan?
Kind of, yes. So that's where I'm, you know, I'm not relying on him being the only potential second baseman. Not saying that my bench is, you know, a whole lot better per se, because a bench is a bench. Like, I'm not getting guys who are star players, right? I'm getting guys who, you know, you're going to hope are league average, right? Yeah. But that's what I chose, is just hoping that he can have that bounce back year. And because if he does, I mean, he's just a really solid player. So, and he was very cheap. He, you know, like I said, only took out $1.2 million on my payroll. So I will take that. So yeah, we're going with Brandon Drury, as my second baseman. I will say that when we get to the lineups portion, he's only a starter on one side of it, against certain pitching. So, okay. You know, he's not going to be every single day, but he's the biggest name, I guess, that I'm getting. People know who Brandon Drury is, especially Mariners fans. So, I'll put him here as kind of in the starting, nine. So, okay. That's my pick for second base. I didn't feel good about it, I will say that, but listen, I decided to focus on other positions, and I kind of left second base for kind of close to last, which I'm just as frustrated as everyone else is with the revolving door of second base that we've had. Mm-hmm. But also, when I think of rosters and I think of what are the most important positions, what are the least important positions, in my opinion, second base is potentially one of the least important on the field, as long as they're really good defenders and can hit, you know, at least close to or hopefully above league average. I'm feeling pretty good about my second baseman there. So, you know, as long as he can slot into 7, 8, 9 and not be a total black hole, that's kind of my hope. So, yeah, that's where I landed.
I looked at him. I did.
Yeah.
I was like, huh. I know he had a bad year last year. And then I was looking at it and I just wanted to review my notes, make sure I was accurate, because my eyes were like, trying to see these lines. You know what, I should just make this bigger. Wow, that made it so much easier. So knowing that he started in Arizona in 2015 all the way to 2017, and he was right around that, like, was it 270 271 average for those 3 years. Like, it's pretty good. Of course, warm, dry climate. And then I was looking down, okay, he didn't do so well in New York. He didn't do so well in Toronto, much colder climates. And then he went to the Mets, but he batted like 274, but that was only at 51 games. And then 2022, when he was in Cincinnati, he batted 274 and he was had an OPS of 855 and he was like starting to pick it up. It's like, all right, not bad. Cincinnati, not what I expected. Gets traded, ends up with the Padres, the second hardest, you know, stadium ballpark, Petco Parks. It's the second best pitcher's ballpark you can get behind Seattle. And yep, his numbers dropped. You know, we went from Cincinnati having a 131 OPS plus to a 107 OPS plus in San Diego. And yep, his OPS went from 855 to 724. It's still above 700. So yeah, he's still above average.
Yeah.
But then goes the next year to LA and, you know, his numbers pick back up again, which is where it's like, okay, I hope this guy can bounce back. He had like his signs there, but the one thing that straight away I was like, like his numbers in San Diego, I was like, oh man, that's pitcher's yeah, ballpark, warmer climate than what we have. And I'm not sure. I know it's going to drop more than San Diego. And I don't know if I'd be comfortable with it dropping below 100 OPS plus and also like just his total average overall, his like slugging was 435, which is I guess okay, but in LA it was when he won that, you know, silver slugger, he's a 497. So I strayed yeah, away from him just because I was scared. I was yeah, I'll be honest, I was just scared.
I get it, like I said, I understand it. It's, you know, I had to, he was kind of one of those last position players. I'm just like, I need to fill this position. And, you know, he's not going to be the only person on my list that is going to be a potential bounce back candidate type guy. But, you know, I'm just kind of, like I said, I'm relying on him hopefully having a decent glove. And I'm hoping that he can at least get to about league average. Because in 2023, he was basically the third best bat on the Angels outside of Trout and Ohtani.
Oh, yeah, so, for sure.
You know, the potential's there, and you know, I have to take a risk, and for only $1.2 million, I'll take that risk. So
it's like him and Ward just kind of switch roles. Like Taylor Ward all yeah, of a sudden was a really good hitter this year, and then Drury got hurt and was kind of fell off there. But yep, he's also, you know, he's also from Grants Pass in Oregon, so he's not too far away.
Local guy. So maybe that yeah, lights a spark here, you know, that he's a kind of a local guy. And, you know, I mean, I know it's not necessarily a factor, but, you know, I kind of have to convince myself however I can that that's a good pick. So yeah, I will use that as another thing, too.
And it's not it's not a bad thing to have him as like a platoon option, too, since he does yeah, play the outfield and he does play third base.
Yep.
You know, you have some options if it's like, he isn't hitting well here, but defensively we could use him if somebody else goes down. So, yep. No, I don't think it's a bad pick at the surface face value. Yeah. It's like
easy to cringe at for sure. And I, yeah, I get it. Yeah. It was hard for me to put him down, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stand behind this and it's going to be what it is.
Torres. I thought you were going to go Glaber.
I don't know. I think my priorities were just in different positions than second base. So, you know, I feel like every team and every roster can kind of have that one position where you're feeling a little worried about how it's going to go and you're going to hope it goes good. And I chose second base as kind of my place for that. So I think the rest of my roster is fairly okay. I'm a little concerned about third base, but we'll get there too.
Speaking of third base and speaking of cringe, now it's your turn. You can screw yeah, you can cringe at me. So okay. So full disclaimer, I would have totally kept Josh Rojas. Looking at the options, I would just kept mm-hmm, him. Like he would have been yep, my guy defensively.
We could have
trust him.
We could have.
But I didn't, you know, I was like, all right, he's off limits. Like he's gone. That's just the way it is. Yoan Moncada.
Okay.
1.5 mil. He only put up a 0.3 war, but it was like him or I couldn't do Bregman. There's no of course. Money left.
Too expensive.
And then there wasn't really any other option that was available. Okay. I was, at least from my point of view, I couldn't find anybody. It was kind of one of those cringe things, but I think it's the exact same mindset as like Brandon Drury. It's just like, this guy was a number one, maybe, possibly he's like a Victor Robles 2.0. He's one of those guys that's been in the league for a certain amount of time. Maybe he can just have a bounce back, because I also think that that clubhouse in Chicago is just toxic. That whole organization is, I mean, I just made a video on what they could do this offseason, because they pretty much, like, they have almost basically what we're doing for this fantasy draft thing, this fantasy like 2025 rebuild. They have that opportunity right now. Like, almost all of their guys are mutual options, team club options, or they are just leaving, or they have a high market value where they can trade. So I just feel like with all of the rumors and like the people who used to play there talking about how their coaches are like, all right, batting practice, like, let's hit the cage. Like, okay, are we gonna work on anything? Yeah, just hit some balls. Like, that was their development program. It's like, I feel like maybe possibly we could Victor Robles this guy into being what he was supposed to be, and for $1.5 million, this is my Brandon Drury, but it's my third base option. We'll see.
So for me, I set up a platoon at third base, which I know we hate platoons. I promise I have less platoons than we normally do on the roster. So you'll like it at two. It's like basically two platoons is all I have. So you guys can deal with that, in my opinion. Okay. But the guy who is going to be playing against right-handed pitchers, so the reason I'm going to mention him first, because he's going to play more than the other guy probably, is Gio Urshela is who I picked. He is slated to make $900K, so very cheap. And he is going to, he can play other spots than just third base, so he gives you some infield flexibility. He has really good plate discipline, especially in the whiff and K department, so that's a really nice thing to have. He doesn't walk much, or at least he didn't last year, which was very weird considering his whiff and K percentages are really high, but his walks was very low, so that was a bit strange. So hopefully he can get those up a bit. So mainly I'm getting him for some of his on-base skills, but he's also a really good defender. And once again, you know, I have to put a bit of a premium on defense for a Seattle team. So I picked Gio Urshela to be kind of my third base against right-handed pitchers, because with against right-handed pitchers, I even put it down here. He had last year a 97 WRC plus, which I know is a little bit below league average, but he's also just was better again than my other guy against them. He can still post a 318 on base percentage. It's nothing flashy, and I get that. And, you know, I wish all my guys could have some good numbers here and there. This guy, even though he, you know, Urshela may not be a full league average bat, he may be a little bit under that. Once again, his defense is really good, so that's part of the reason I did it. And also very cheap, like I said, 900K. So that's why I slot him in there as the first part of a platoon piece at third base.
You're going to, I can feel you're saving for that outfield. I can.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, I didn't get anyone crazy for outfield. I think I split it fairly evenly between shortstop and outfield. But yeah, I just felt like, I don't know. That's the hard part with this roster building stuff, right? I mean, you are there. There's almost no possibility, unless you're like the Dodgers and have quite literally an unlimited budget, where you can be like, every single guy I'm putting in here is solid and I stand behind it 100%. I'm going to have to take some risks here and go with certain attributes that I think would play better for a team in Seattle. So that's why I went with Urshela for third base. Get a little bit of that good defense there.
Yeah. And I mean, you like the Angels, I can tell. Yeah. Since you play with them in 2023. But I mean, he definitely bounced around in 2024. I mean, his batting average wasn't bad. He just didn't get very many games. I mean, 92 games with Detroit, 36 with Atlanta. So, I mean, I guess he played most of a season, rounding it out to be about. I mean, he's not bad with a 9-year career and 273 batting average. I wonder why he gets tossed around. I guess he's just not.
He's not some star player. He's not blowing you away necessarily in any facet of his game. But like I said, you know, when it comes to on-base stuff and his defense, that's kind of what I wanted to focus on. And I do feel just generally, you know, after this, outside of my bench guys, except for one, outside of my bench guys, the rest of my roster I'm feeling pretty good about. So that's kind of why I'm going a bit more cheap on third base and second base. So
you went cheaper than me. I thought I was going to go cheaper than you. I don't think it's a bad, I don't think it's a bad choice. I've always liked Gio. I mean, he's bounced around quite a bit. I wouldn't mind seeing him actually in reality at third base for Seattle, just because, I mean, he's not a bad bat. I don't know about his, I have to look at my stat head and see how he's batted here, at least in Seattle. So, that's kind of like something I'd have to look into a little bit, but I almost kind of wish I did Gio Urshela than Yoan Moncada, but at the same time, like, I kind of like that idea of like, oh, maybe we can develop a hitter now that we have like the Braves hitting coach and we have Edgar Martinez, you know, running kind of like the structure of it all. It's like, maybe there might be something here as far as like offensively. And Yoan Moncada seems fine defensively. Like, it's third base, the hot corner. As long as you have a good reaction time, you should be okay. And his Baseball Reference didn't exactly show much just because very small amount of report. So I'm going to see if I can pull it up. Maybe I can at least share it with you.
I didn't really look at splits at T-Mobile Park specifically. Just because I felt like that was maybe getting a little higher up in the brain energy that I maybe wanted to do for the game. I'm like, okay, well, we're going crazy now. And it's also like, you just in general don't have a whole lot of choices at certain positions anyways. Like with third base after Bregman, it is quite a step down after Bregman. So it's just like, I'm just gonna go with the guy who I feel like can give me some good defense and we'll go from there. So what is this, Urshela at T-Mobile, or is that what we're trying to look for? Or Moncada? No,
this is Moncada, but like I said, like, he doesn't really qualify for anything. But if he did, you know,
he has some oppo hits there. So I mean, that's good.
Yeah, a couple. Like, again, it's very little. I mean, he had 45 plate appearances, so it's like,
not much to go off of.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have like 22, he's batting 212, and then 260 the next year. It's like, all right, are you good or are you not good? I don't really know. So I was like, all right, we can try this. But I can also see if, I don't know if my stat head is working. Let's see here. So, not bad. 2024. It's only two games. 333. I mean,
I'll take that as a win. I'm not going to lie. I think that that bolsters my case, in my opinion. So
I'll take it. It's his best. It's his best year. Besides, that was 2019. I think 2019 is when he hit 21 home runs, which is the most he ever hit. So that was like his best season with New York. I believe it was 2019. And then 2022. I mean, he made a comeback. So who knows? I mean, I wouldn't even be mad in real life if they actually grabbed him. I wouldn't be mad. I would rather have Alec Boehm in a trade, but again, that was one of the rules against this, is no trades. It's just
no trades. And once again, I'm putting him as a platoon piece with someone else, so he's not playing every single day or anything. So you know, it for me, that's kind of a lower risk, especially only at 900K. I didn't really spend really any of my budget on Gio Urshela, so
I think he did good. My guy is, we're gonna look at shortstop, which sounds like you spent some money, so I think you went with somebody different. I'm going with Jose Iglesias. Okay. So 1.7 mil, super cheap. He put up a 3.1 WAR last year. It's only 0.4 more than Josh Rojas, or sorry, than JP Crawford. But JP Crawford is costing us like 12 mil. So going from 12 mil to like, or roughly 12 mil, it's like, it's 11.7 something, but going to 1.7 mil, it's like, all right, this kind of opens up the books for the last four spots, including, you know, DH. He did really good. Batted 337. He's not a crazy home run hitter, but I don't need that for my shortstop. Four home runs out of 270 at bats. I mean, his slugging was 448, OPS plus of 137. I know he's getting older on the higher end. He's 34, but man, as far as I know, this guy also raps and puts on like concerts and stuff. And I think the Mariners need that. So maybe he can make a new song, "Oh My God" for OMG for the Mariners. That'd be great. Yeah. It's someone I trust at shortstop. I think he's still versatile defensively. In comparison to JP, JP's lost a lot of his range, in my opinion, from what I've seen. Just certain balls, I just like, I don't know. Maybe I feel like he could have got that a couple of years ago. I think Jose would probably get it or be somewhere in the same defensive zone as JP, but for a fraction of the cost and literally probably triple the batting average that JP put up this last season. So,
yep.
That was my pick. Jose Church.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, hey, he would bring a lot of good vibes, so that would be nice. I mean, I feel like we already have enough, but he would definitely help in that, so that he'd be a good clubhouse guy. Absolutely. Yeah. So my guy on Spo Track, he's listed as a second baseman, but he has played quite a bit, if not more, shortstop. So I spent a good, let's see, $12.3 million on this guy. I'm taking Ha-Sung Kim to be my shortstop. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I feel like, I don't know if that's a kind of, you know, I don't want to say that's cheating per se, but at the same time, because he's played plenty of shortstop. I don't remember how many innings exactly, yeah. But it's been plenty. So that's where it's like, I feel like he could be a shortstop just fine. He's a really good defender, which is good. So that is another thing. Once again, I put a premium on defense, and I'm getting that with Ha-Sung Kim. You know, he had a down year in 2024, absolutely. But, you know, kind of similar to Brandon Drury, but I feel like he's definitely a more sure bet than Brandon Drury, that he, you know, if he has a good year, he's going to be giving you double digit home runs. He's going to be potentially a 5-win player if he's having a really good year. Good plate discipline, which we always like. And he has decent speed, which is something that we also needed to add a bit to this club too. Went with Ha-Sung Kim. I mean, he's won a gold glove, so I feel like he's going to be better defensively than, you know, JP Crawford. He's like you said with Iglesias, he's not going to give you a bunch of power. A shortstop doesn't have to, but if he is giving you you know, those 10 to 20 home runs, which he's capable of doing, then that works for me. Just a really good, like, kind of on base guy that I wanted to have with the defense. I'm going with Ha-Sung Kim and spend a little bit of money to get him. So
fair enough. I mean, guess you should have done Ha-Sung Kim and Ha-Sung Kim on the playing field.
I know, I know.
The center Kim. I don't know. Yeah. That's the 2023 put up a 5.8 WAR. 2022 put a 4.9 WAR. Like, this last year, obviously dealing with injuries. You know, that maybe that surgery fixes everything. It's not a patella tendon surgery like it was for Polanco. So I wouldn't be as worried about it. I don't think it's a bad choice for shortstop at all. And I mean, shortstop was his main position down in Korea. So it's just me going back to his home. I know he was over at second, and that was mainly for Bogarts, but you know, that worked out for the Padres. So, true. not a bad pick, I don't think. I wish his OPS plus was a little bit higher. He's kind of like right around the 100 area. He was 96 this last year, 107. and the 105 before, but yeah, he will give you a little bit more power. I mean, a little bit more power than what I would get out of Jose Iglesias, I believe. I mean, I think he only poked like 7 home runs.
Something like that. Well, and that's one of my things about the Mariners, and I said it before last season. Yeah, before last season is, I mean, if some of these guys were just league average, like we are going to be, we'd be making the playoffs. So, you know, although some of these guys may not, you know, in the hypothetical, you know, 2025 Mariners, if they played for them, you know, I'm getting guys who are more likely to be at that, at least that league average floor than not. So I just felt like he's a solid player. He's not breaking the bank with only, you know, 12 something million dollars. So that's where I went with it.
Awesome. All right. Well, I went a interesting route with this one just because I initially for left field was going to go with Tyler O'Neill.
Okay.
But projected 16 some odd million, I wasn't going to be able to be in budget. So, with the rest of my choices. So I went with a cheap option that performed really well last year. But I would not say that he's like a proven MLB starter. He's been in the league for 10 years, but I mean, he had a great year last year, but I'm going to assume that he's not going to do as well. And that is Randall Grichuk. So he was with Arizona last year. He put up a 2.2 war, had 12 home runs, about a 291, slugged 528. Like, he had a really good season. OPS plus was 140. His career numbers are not going to reflect the same thing. I mean, his career batting average is a 252. He slugs 469. It's not bad, but his OPS plus is on average a 104 over the course of his whole career. I mean, and he's ranged from like as low as 81 OPS plus. And then this last year was his high mark of 140 OPS plus, which is, I mean, I'm really focusing on that offense. Defensively, he's fine. I haven't seen any discrepancies, at least on his Savant page. Maybe I can pull that up as well. But he was a cheap option. But I can't say I've followed him too closely. I mean, almost everything he has this last season is in the red, but he technically didn't qualify somehow, even though he had 279 plate appearances.
I think he DH'd a lot last year. I might be wrong, but okay. I think he was like a one half of a DH platoon with Jock Peterson, or at least that was the plan to start the year. I don't know if that's what ended up happening.
Yeah, but he got plenty of at-bats, so I'm not exactly sure. I mean, his fielding, his range is -2, his arm value is -1, his arm strength was 60th percentile. He's not crazy fast, but he's not super slow. He's a pole hitter, that left field over by Edgar's Cantina. That's well closer than it is here in Arizona. As far as this being 368, he's hit plenty of bombs out there. All of these hits that are for doubles at the 412, those are home runs at T-Mobile. And it looks like all the other ones that were doubles as well are going to be within range as far as T-Mobile Park goes. So, I mean, right-handed bat, so he's a pole hitter for sure. He barely puts anything down the line into right field. So I think it would be a good person to have. To me, he's like the Luke Raley, but righty. And I think he's starting to really kind of, in a weird way, he has his like ups and downs, but it's almost like he blossoms occasionally. And I think he goes through these like little stints for like 2 or 3 years where he does really well. And then he'll fall off for a year and then he comes back. And this last year was it. And him being a number one draft pick in 2009. I mean, another veteran that's been around to multiple teams, St. Louis, Toronto, Colorado, Arizona and LA Angels. Like he's been around, so he can kind of bring that into the club as well.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's a decent pick for sure. He had a good year last year. So, you know, you would hope he can carry it over. For left field, I'm going to go into the second person that I kept from the original roster, and I think we all know who I'm going to say then. Randy Arozarena. I'm keeping him. You know, I think for Randy, one, it's going to be nice to have, you know, just outside of the game, in real life, it's going to be nice to have a full year of Randy Arozarena in Seattle. So I'm really looking forward to that. But he's just a consistently above average bat. He has power. He has speed. He has good base running. He had a bit of a down year last year, but, you know, still he was an above league average bat. So, you know, it is what it is for me. And if you get into the playoffs with this team, he's going to probably rake, which is the other part too. So you have a guy who's proven to play well in October. He's probably one of the worst defenders on my team at this point, which for that to be Randy Arozarena, like, it's a pretty good defensive team in my opinion. So you know, obviously Drury can be hit or miss, but I just really like having that kind of I don't know. I guess like just kind of swagged out guy, the guy who has a chip on his shoulder every time he comes into the batter's box. He has that attitude there. You know, definitely do not hit him by a pitch because he looks like he wants to kill every single pitcher that does that. So, yeah, I think he'd be a good personality to have on the team, and just he's an overall good player. And I think if he can, you know, I feel like you contribute a little bit of his struggle with Seattle, which it wasn't even too much of a struggle necessarily, but a bit of first a slow start. Yeah. A bit of a slow start to, you know, it was pretty apparent that he didn't take the trade very well. But now, you know, he's at the point where he's going to be able to have his family established in Seattle and close to him, and he's going to be able to go to spring training with the guys. So both in real life and in this hypothetical world that we're dealing with right here, I feel like he should be ready to go and give it his all to the team. So, yeah, I'm going to keep Randy Arozarena. I think per arbitration, per Spotrac, $11.5 million, which is not really bad. And I'm going to take him because he's not bad on the budget, and he's just a consistent and really just good player. So yeah. I felt like might as well.
Yeah. He was kind of interesting because it's weird. Like, I don't know if you remember that story. I know that Baseball is Dead kind of covered it, and Dallas Braden kind of went off. I disagree with him, but like, I guess it was like, I think the Mariners went to go play the Rays.
The Rays came to Seattle. They played him, and then he went into the other locker room or the other clubhouse.
He went into their clubhouse, and everybody was like, "You need to get the fuck out. Like, you're not one of us anymore." And it's like, dude, it's been like 7 days, and he's been part of this organization for 3 years as like the franchise name. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? And it's weird because it's like almost after that interaction of just like, no, you're not welcome here. You're not one of us. Like, he's just like, oh, fuck. Like, this is my family then. Like, all right.
Yeah.
These guys wanted me. They went out and got me. Like, and he started performing.
It's almost like he got the closure he needed.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It was, you know, I'm just speculating, but
yeah,
like,
of course.
It's something like, it felt like as soon as that happened, it was like maybe a week later, I'm just like, oh, shit. He's starting to pick it up. He's starting to play. So, yep. I mean, seeing that he's now going to go through the offseason spring training with the team, see all the younger guys, they're going to meet him. He's going to feel like more of a leader because even though he's still in arbitration years, he's going to, you know, him and Julio can kind of work together. I'm hoping that the Mariners make some trades and bring back specific guys that Julio thought were mentors to him. And, you know, just, I'm hoping that they make some moves to make this team better because whatever they thought was going to work last year didn't work out. And I'm so tired of them saying like, oh, we tried. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. I expect we're going to have a more determined and a more focused Randy Arozarena for 2025. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm banking on. I think he will do fine in T-Mobile Park. I'm not necessarily worried about the park fit. I just, I think he's just a solid player who has the capability to be one of the best players on the team at any given moment. And he, it's also just having that guy who's kind of like that polarizing star. Feels like every team kind of needs that one guy who who just is kind of more on the flashier side. Because, you know, Julio he's a star, sure, but he's not like, it's different. Right. It's just a different vibe than Randy. So Randy's a lot more of a kind of a, I don't want to say serious vibe per se, but, you know, people call it aura, right? Like Randy has aura, and, you know, I just felt like he's a good fit and wanted to keep him on my fictitious 2025 Mariners team. And I'm happy that in real life, he's actually going to be on 2025 Mariners. So it's a double whammy. So of positivity for sure.
Yeah, it's not a bad, it's not a bad pick at all. I Showboat there. I definitely the take three pitches, just standing there and not even loading up and then hit a bomb. Like that kind of thing. So yeah, I all right. Yeah, it makes me wonder if I should have just kept him, but at the same time, I'm like, I couldn't.
Gotta say goodbye now. Too late.
I know. It's a little too, it's like, well, he'll be fine. We'll trade for him later.
Try to get him back.
Try to get him back. I think center field is probably going to be the same for both of us. I don't know. I'm going to be wrong.
But I mean, Julio, it's got to be. Yeah,
it's got to be Julio. So 19.9 million projected. I don't know what number you came up with.
I think that's what Spotrac said too. It was 19.9 is what the, 19.9.
We don't really need to hit on that. It's like, why are we keeping him? Well, he's kind of the franchise face at this point. It's, I mean, if we were doing the Rays right now, it'd probably be Randy Rosarena that'd be sticking around on this team. We'd be putting out there. So, Julio's Julio. You can put your
potential MVP candidate every year. He has that potential there. I know he hasn't really fulfilled that yet. He can give you a 30-30 season every year. He is a spectacular defender in center field. He keeps getting snubbed for these gold gloves. It's getting absurd at this point. So what can you say? And he's a good base runner. Like, obviously, 30-30, that's implied.
If Soto is a gold glove finalist, then
what is Julio?
Julio should be winning it. Soto is bad.
Yeah.
Like, there's a montage of him doing terrible in right field, and he was a finalist. It's like, all right, what are we doing? Because Julio, he did some great stuff, I think, before he hurt his ankle, and then after that he kind of chilled it out, but he also didn't really have a lot that was hit that was like,
well, it was like a week before he broke his ankle, when he ran into the wall, he made a very similar catch where he ran into the wall, but he actually made the catch and didn't get hurt. He's a walking highlight reel in center field. He's just such a good defender. He's making plays all the time. So it's just, I mean, he is a five tool player if they're probably the only five tool player on the actual team. So that's just a thing where, I mean, it's a kind of just a no brainer to keep him, even though he's more expensive. Like, so yeah, if I didn't keep him and I kept like Luke Raley instead and Victor Robles, like, sure, I'd be paying less. But Julio is the franchise player for a reason. Obviously, I would love for him to have a more consistent bat over the year. That's kind of the next step that I would like to see him take, to be more consistent instead of having such these really high highs and these really low lows. I'd love to it to be a bit of a tighter sine wave, if you will. So that's where, you know, he still has room for improvement. But that's the thing. Like, this dude has room for improvement, right? Like, that's quite a thing to say. So it's hard not to take him. And I think he was the first person I wrote down when it was like, who are the three players you're going to keep? Very quickly, Julio, and Cal was very quick too. Rosarena was the only one I was like debating here and there a little bit, but not by much. So very, very easy, unanimous pick.
Yeah. I guess speaking of, so right field, and you brought up Raley. I was like, all right, if I chose my third one and it was Raley, then I have a lot, and I mean a lot more money left over. And I should have at that point got Tyler O'Neill for left field, or, you know, to play the outfield, be my third outfield with Raley at that point, because Raley did great. He did amazing. He was basically another Victor Robles this last season, but, you know, a little bit quieter because he played first base for a lot of the time.
Yep.
And for $800,000, like, You can't go wrong with how well he did. Career highs almost across the board. But if I did that, I wouldn't have been able to get Anthony Santander. Okay. So that's who I grabbed for right field. $17.7 million. But switch hitter, hits 30 bombs. He's a veteran. He's been around a young club for the last 2-3 seasons in Baltimore. Like, I'm talking, you know, rookie of the year guys, just Jackson Holliday coming up, Jordan Westberg, like all of these really young guys, Colton Cowser, Heston Kerstad. He's been in a leadership role, considering it's only what, him and Cedric Mullins and Mountcastle. That's the only veterans you have on that entire club. And the fact that he's a switch hitter, who's a switch hitter that we have? Cal Raleigh. And if he's able to hit like he's able to hit, and they have similar numbers, they're able to produce, and then you have a veteran presence in there. Defensively, he's not insanely amazing, but I would choose his bat over Raleigh's. I'd choose his bat over Robles. And I have the money, so I'm going to go get him. He posted a 2.9 war. So I went with Santander.
Okay. Yeah. So for right field, I needed a lefty bat to break up the outfield contingent because Julio is a righty. Randy Rosarena is a righty. So I need a lefty. I went and got Max Kepler from the Twins. He's a bit of a hit or miss bat. So I will say that he's not some for sure bet like some of the other players are, that he's going to post a league average bat, but he still hovers around 90 to potentially 120. So you're hoping he gets that. He's a lefty, so that fits better with T-Mobile Park anyways. It's a bit more friendly to lefties. And you know, once again, run prevention team, defense is a premium. Kepler's a pretty good defender. I really liked the fit. Yeah. So I like the fit. I think I got him for 10.6 mil. I just thought he was, right around the price point I was looking for. And, just need that lefty guy in the outfield to help out with that. And, you know, good defender. He's just a solid player. And that's what I'm looking for, is just solid players with solid defense and that potential high upside in the bat as well, because he can give you some power. So, I really like the fit of Max Kepler. I was hoping that we would get him potentially last offseason in a trade of some kind. And then we did get a Twins player, just not Kepler. So
it would have been nice if he came in the package, though, if we got him and Polanco.
Yeah.
Granted, at the same time, our outfield's pretty stacked. I just wish they didn't do the Haniger deal. That's my only thing.
Yeah, I agree. So I don't know why they did, but they did. It is what it is.
I know it was a salary dump, but it's like long term. That was terrible.
I would have rather kept Robbie Ray, but you know, whatever. It is what it is, you know. I was about to say maybe you could move him as a bullpen piece if you're really worried about his health, but obviously we saw how that worked in the 2022 ALDS, so maybe not. But but it makes my outfield a Rosarena, Julio Rodriguez, and Max Kepler. I like that a lot. It's a good setup. I felt pretty solid about him. I was not completely sure just compared to some other guys, but from pretty much the get-go, I've been wanting to get him, so put him in there. So
I wouldn't be surprised if they made something happen with the Twins, because the Twins are selling now. Like there's undoubtedly that they are trying to get people off the books, although I think the first person they're trying to move, it's going to be Buxton, just because he costs so much money and he's always injured. And then they might actually be interested in moving Royce Lewis, just because, again, injured every season. So
every 10 at-bats, he gets injured.
Yeah, so yeah. It's bad. I actually made a video on it. I was like, probably the greatest player to never play a full season.
Yeah.
Like, he's that good. I did a full deep dive on that. Check it out if you guys haven't. This only leaves one more spot before we get to the bench. That's DH. Did you get one for DH?
Yep, I got a DH. Okay.
Just wanted to make sure. Could have been just like a bench and you like rotate somebody through. So my DH He is familiar face. He did insanely good last year. He was able to put together a 2.5 WAR, which would be a huge upgrade considering we had Garver this last season, who had a negative 0.1 WAR. And someone I really hope that the Mariners actually do bring on, Carlos Santana. Also a backup for first base with Christian Walker. And I think Santana is a good defensive player at first as well. So, yeah.
Well, we were reading each other's minds because Carlos Santana, because of also, you know, when Christian Walker needs that day off, man, couldn't get a better glove to put at first base in the interim. I went with Carlos Santana, $5.6 million per Spotrac. Obviously he's been a Mariner before, so we know that he knows the organization. He knows some of the players already, is that veteran presence. And he was a Gold Glove winner this year at first base. So it's like when Walker needs a day off, or let's say if Walker gets hurt, I mean, what a good replacement.
You know,
so there's that. And then, you know, you could have Walker DH sometimes and Santana play first, and you're not going to feel like you're really giving up anything by putting him there. Like, he's not going to be a Mike Ford where you're like, oh God, just don't, please don't, you know, hit the ball to him. You're going to be like, you're going to still feel really good regardless. He felt like kind of another no brainer. He just, you know, and I like Justin Turner too, but Carlos Santana is one cheaper, and he has more of a tenure with the club already in its players. And you put Turner at first base, you put Santana at first base. I mean, I think, you know, it doesn't take, it's hard to argue who is the better option there. So it just, he makes all the sense in the world, in my opinion. So yeah, bring back Carlos Santana. I'm hoping they actually bring him back. I would love to see that.
I think it'd be great. And honestly, it's weird. It really just comes down to age for me. Cause like, if it was between Carlos Santana and one of the other guys, you know, Justin Turner or Christian Walker, and they're like, oh, well, you can't afford Walker, so you get Santana. Like, I don't feel as comfortable just because they're both 40. It's more of an age thing where it's like, if you get 34-year-old Christian Walker, 34 or 35, or maybe 36, honestly, I have to check. I put the younger guy on the field and then have Santana DH, because like, his bat has not cooled down. He's been great. So yeah, I really do hope they pick him up. Although in real life, I did like Turner. I really did. And I think he was just good vibes for the whole clubhouse. Like, he just seemed happy. He seemed happy to be there.
The other thing with Santana though too is that he's a lefty, so that's or I think he's a switch hitter, right? So he's, but I get, you're gonna face more righty pitchers, so he's gonna be hitting lefty more often than not. So that's just another thing where it's like, I need another guy who can hit lefty and be good at it to kind of break up the lineup. So
I really love switch hitters just across the board. If they're able to put up good numbers, then I like it. Yeah. All right. Now we're getting to our bench, and I still have, I mean, I'll switch it up. I still have a guy that I'm retaining.
I know.
And I saved him on my bench.
I have a guess on who it has to be, but I'm not sure. But I think I have a guess.
So I'm going to leave him for last.
Okay.
My first bench guy out of three, is also a former Mariner, bringing him back. I feel very Jerry DePoto like, but I liked this guy, and I'm going to give you one hit. I guarantee you're going to be able to call it. I liked him because he started fights.
Well, I know who. I know who you're talking about. The only reason I didn't pick him is because I don't feel like he would come back here. But I think you have to be talking about Jesse Winker.
I'm talking about Jesse Winker.
Okay.
$2.4 million projected market value. 1.8 WAR. He did great in New York. He gets pumped up. If we just let him be himself, let him be pumped up, let him be crazy. Like, let him be the most hated guy in baseball. Like, he's probably gonna end up playing for your, he's gonna probably end up playing for your team. That whole thing when he was with the Nationals talking shit to the Mets and all that stuff and their fans, and he'd be like, somebody threw a ball at him, he wrote on it and he wrote him a message, threw the ball back, he's like, you suck, or whatever he's saying, like, you got a problem with me or whatever, and they kept going, and he's just like instigating, and then he's on the team half a year later. That's just fun to me. I would like to see him. I mean, obviously I could have chose Rayleigh, but I didn't choose Rayleigh. I couldn't, I guess, because he was gone. I guess I could have held him back, but I have more reasons why I didn't. I chose somebody else over him. So that's my first pick for the bench. Do you want me to go all three and then get to yours?
Sure, why not?
Okay, we can do that. My second one is a guy that I was hoping we would pick up at the trade deadline, but we didn't. $2.3 million contract rejected. He's been playing extremely well, and he is one of two players this last season that literally played for three teams. So that narrows it down on who it could be. Ahmed Rosario. Ahmed Rosario. So played for the Reds, played for the Rays, and played for the Blue Jays. I'm already forgetting, probably getting that wrong.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Three teams. So I chose him. He consistent bat. He can get on base. He can play any position. He's again another. He played for the Dodgers, I believe, right? Was he with the Dodgers?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. So he was with the Rays, got traded to the Dodgers, then got traded to the Reds. This last year he posted, between all teams, .280 average, only 73 strikeouts. I understand he didn't slug well at .380, but still it's close to 400. His OPS is below 700, .686. OPS plus only at 94. That's why he's a bench guy. You know, he's not an everyday player, but he can fill in the roles that if someone needs a break for the day. And I feel like, career wise, he bats .273 with a 400 slugging and a 706 OPS. So very league average. He's kind of quick on the bases. Like he can make it to third on a base hit. That's kind of in the gap. Someone that I would actually put out there every day if I needed to. Just because injuries, they always suck. And the fact that he's been with the Mets, he's been with Cleveland, he's been with the Dodgers, he's been with the Rays, you know, the Reds, he's just been all over the place. So you can kind of bring that to the club. 6 years in the NL, 4 years in the AL, and he'd just be a bench guy. Like, that's awesome. I'm cool with that. So he was my second guy. And then my last one is my third pick for retaining, and I'm starting to like this guy more and more every year. I didn't until this year, and he's getting expensive, but I said screw it. Dylan Moore.
That's who I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. So if it wasn't Luke Rayleigh, it had to be him, right? So 3.9 mil this next year. That's just what he has for his contract. He's getting up there in age, but you know, as far as utility guy, just kind of moving around, he did really well covering third if we needed it. I needed somebody who, you know, I didn't want a platoon of two. I wanted a platoon of three for third. So you have Yoan Moncada there, and then you would have like Ahmed Rosario, and you would have Dylan Moore. They can all kind of, you know, fill those slots if needed. And then also in the outfield, if there's anybody that's hurt, you know, I can trust Dylan Moore with his range. I wouldn't say his glove is insanely great, but Rosario would be good out there. And then also Jesse Winker would probably be my primary outfield kind of guy. Those are my three. I have Jesse Winker, Ahmed Rosario, and Dylan Moore on my bench. And I believe that comes out to quick math, because I can't do math. 8.6 mil just on my bench. Not too bad.
Okay. So the first person on my bench that I'm going to go over, and it's actually a role that I'm a little surprised it didn't felt like you covered, a backup catcher. So I took Kyle Higashioka for $1.6 million. He's a very just solid and inexpensive backup catcher. You know, Cal Raleigh is obviously going to get a majority of innings, but Higashioka has hit double-digit dingers in every season since 2021. He's a league average bat against both handedness, both righties and lefties, whereas Cal struggles against lefties. So, although, so if I were to prefer when he bats, it's going to be against lefties. He's going to be kind of more of a lefty specialist backup catcher, and then just generally do backup catching duties anyways. He just feels like a really solid player. I mean, frankly, he could probably be a starter on multiple teams if, you know, maybe more lower level teams. But still, I think for $1.6 million and what he can give you, I like it. He gives you some pop, which is nice. So that's who I went with to start out my bench. So a good backup catcher in Kyle Higashioka. Moving on, who is going to be platooning with Gio Urshela at third base? I took Patrick Wisdom. He had a rough 2024, but he was also hurt. So yeah. I think that, you know, you're hoping that's part of it. He had a back issue for a lot of it. So, but prior to that, he had three straight seasons at or above league average. He can give you 20 to 30 home run power. So it's like, that's nice to have in your back pocket when you need someone to hopefully hit a home run for you. He is not a particularly good defender, which is kind of part of the reason also I put Urshela over him, just because, you know, I want that defense first. But still, he can hold his ground. I mean, it is what it is. He is probably actually more or less my worst defender on the team in general, outside of Arozarena. But like I said, he's a platoon piece, so it is what it is. He'd be getting a bit less playing time to Urshela because I think Urshela is a bit better than against righties. So he'd mainly be playing against lefties as well. It's hard when I'm looking over his 2024 stats because, like I said, his 2024 was not great. He had a bit of a step back, so he was kind of rough against both handedness, but just in general, he's a bit better against lefties. So Patrick Wisdom is going to be filling in that kind of like third base role. He could probably play first too if you really needed him to, but obviously you have Santana, so not necessary. But yeah, he's just kind of a good little bopper is kind of what I was looking for on that. And then my very last piece, who is going to be helping with some infield duties as well as outfield duties if they are needed, is Whit Merrifield, who is very old, which is bad. However, I feel like when I'm thinking about roster construction, you need that one guy off the bench who just has absurd speed. Whit Merrifield still has absurd speed, so he can be a good pinch runner if need be. So very fast, which is nice. He can help, like I said, both in outfield and infield. If Drury is not having a good year, then I'm probably putting Merrifield into second base to hold it down if possible. He's had some good seasons, especially recently. Last year wasn't great, but before then, I mean, he's just been kind of a solid player. He's not flashy. He's not going to be, you know, some big name. You're like, oh, wow, look at him. Look at what he's doing. He's just going to hold it down. Right. So that's why I'm giving there. And then he has a little bit of pop too, to help out if that's needed. So, he's going to round out my bench there. I think he was slotted at $1.5 million. So also fairly inexpensive. So that brings I initially had Urshela listed on my bench, which would have made my bench considerably cheaper. But with Wisdom there, it's 6.8 plus basically $3 million. So, under $10 million for my bench. So yeah, that rounds out my offensive roster there. So yeah,
I wouldn't have expected Whit Merrifield, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I was not seeing that coming. Like,
yeah, because when I think of benches and bench players, I think of, okay, what role do they serve? And I feel like every roster needs a backup catcher. Obviously, you need that kind of more utility guy who can help out in multiple different positions, and then you need that one like speedster guy that you can put in to pinch run if need be in those, you know, in the 11th, 12th, 13th inning at second base. And Whit Merrifield gives me that speed guy. Even if he's not the best bat, even if he's not the best defender, he's still, you know, his bat's like whatever, but his defense is still solid. So he fills in that role for me. And
hey, that's kind of anywhere.
Yeah, that's the methodology I went by when it came to looking at my bench. So
yeah, I mean, I will address your comment about me not picking up somebody as a backup for.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I didn't because I don't know. It's not exactly against the rules or anything like that, but I just see him. I just see Cal as being able to fill in. And then if we desperately need, like if he actually got hurt, you could just call up Harry Ford from AAA. So, and I would trust Harry Ford. I'm not going to expect him to hit bombs or anything like that, or have a crazy high average, but I could see him getting on base, hitting singles, slap hitting, and then being a good defensive catcher. So yeah. that is the reason why I didn't really pay attention for a backup catcher. Cause it's like, how many times did we throw Garver out there?
Just because.
20, maybe 25 games, maybe? And that's a lot. I think that's high. I think Cal played a lot more than that. So I just didn't see. I'm also going off this idea and philosophy that I really do think the Mariners, sadly, and I guess I'm supposed to take this as if it's my team, but if the managing is going to work this way, then the managing is going to be using him every second that they get because they want him behind the plate because he's so good. And they want him to be working with those pitchers and calling the game the way he does. And so it's run him into the ground for the next 3 years. And if he's still good, then we'll find an extension. But if not, then we'll move on to the next guy. And our next guy is literally is the top rated catcher in the entire prospect system. So we feel pretty confident until we trade him, which I don't know if they will. So that's why I didn't really choose that catcher. Higashioka, I love him. So I lived right in between San Diego and Phoenix. So I would go either way to see games. I went to a ton of games at Petco. Like, I liked Arizona because it was like, all right, I'm living in Arizona, so this has got to be the team. But I went to more. I went to like 90% more Padres games, and I became a pretty big fan there. And just seeing him this last year, because I went to a few games, it was awesome. It was awesome to watch. He seemed to mesh well with the club ever since that trade. I don't know. I'm kind of hoping that they bring him back to the Padres. So my personal sentiment of like, I don't want him to come to Seattle. I want him to stay in San Diego because it's just, it worked out. It's like, we don't need Soto. Yeah.
I mean, in real life, if they manage to somehow offload Garver, which I mean, I'm kind of torn on whether you should or not. If they did, I would hope, especially for how cheap he's going to be, sign him. Like, it would be a no-brainer. I feel like just a Raleigh-Higashioka catching tandem is just solid. Like, because that's the thing is, like, compare that to Raleigh and Savala. Oh, my God. Like, what a big difference Higashioka is to that. So, because you don't feel like you're putting him in the lineup and he's a black hole, which you obviously did with Savala. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, if they did offload Garver, then, you know, I would love for them to get Higashioka. I think that would be amazing. And he, like I said, he plays a little bit to Cal's weaknesses against lefties a bit. So it makes even more sense like that. So, but yeah, I ended up with 150K remaining on my payroll after this whole roster was done. So I squeezed it dry.
How could you?
I know.
I went drier.
So, did you go into negative or did you went to straight zero?
No, I went to straight zero.
Nice.
I had 2.4 mil and I had one more bench player to choose from. And Jesse Winker was my 2.4. He was 2.4. And I was like, I kind of want someone who's more priority outfield because I have two kind of infield utility guys. And then I was like, you know what? I kind of like the shits that he started. So let's throw him out there. And he had a great year last year. So I was like, oh, why not? He might come back. He didn't say if he said it about Seattle, like he said, the Brewers saying I'd never want to play for that organization again, then maybe I would double think that. But he didn't. I don't think he'd had a problem with Seattle at all. I think Seattle liked him. I came clean at exactly 99 mil with this roster. And I did have to make a couple of moves to change it up. But I also looked into it, and I looked at my WAR differential from what we currently have, or I should say what we had last season versus if this were to be the team, and I'm not including the bench because obviously our bench, if you look like on the actual roster, there's more than three guys on our bench. So without the bench, I was able to add 5.7 games more wins to the year based on the WAR differential. So
okay,
that would have gave us second place and I believe second in the wild card. So
okay. Yeah, I didn't do the WAR differential for mine, but also if you did it, I mean, you probably would find mine being a bit lower because I did get guys like Wisdom and Drury who had really poor years last year, who I'm hoping on bounce back. So yeah, there's a bit of that volatility there. So I'm hoping on the upside, like, I feel like I am Jerry DePoto. I'm literally doing that. I'm hoping on the upside. I'm doing method like acting Garver and for this.
Like the Mitches.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I got some hope in them and their personalities. I like them as people. I wrote up a lineup. I don't know if you did.
I did. Yep. Versus, did? Okay. I did it for both handedness too. Yeah.
Oh, you did. Okay. I just did straight up. I said, screw it. This is going to be my team. I'm going to call it good. I did Hyesung Kim as my leadoff, just on base slap hitter. Why not throw him in there? I want Julio to get more reps, so he's number two. Number three, I have Anthony Santander, a little power right before the cleanup hitter, just to kind of maybe knock in Hyesung Kim. And then four is Christian Walker. Sorry, Cal, he got bumped. Five is Cal Raleigh. Six is Carlos Santana. Seventh is Jose Iglesias. Eighth is Randall Grichuk. And ninth is Yoan Moncada. So I don't trust Moncada at all. So I was like, all right,
yeah,
let's put him at third, put him at the bottom. We'll see how he hits. If we can come back like you did in 22, maybe.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, no, I like it, especially having those first, six or seven are good. But yeah, I broke mine down to handedness. I even looked at some of the stats here on who I would slot where. Both lineups are the same through the first three. I went a Rosarena number one, Julio Rodriguez number two, and Christian Walker number three. So that's regardless of handedness, those are my top three. Mm-hmm. So against righties, who are you would technically see more of, I put Cal Raleigh number four. So then I put number five Hyesung Kim, so I could get after those power guys and get a little contact, maybe get someone on base. Mm-hmm. And sixth, I have Santana at my designated hitter spot to hopefully drive him in. Let's say he gets a double, that'd be cool. Seven, Max Kepler. Eight, I put Brandon Drury because I thought I heard somewhere that like eighth is like more of a good place to put like kind of your worst potential hitter. So I put Drury at eighth, and then I put Urshela at nine because he has a bit more on base skills. So hopefully he can get on before we turn the lineup card around.
Yeah, so. It is interesting. I do feel like, and I've always thought this, that whenever you see like do up next, it's always the 9-1-2.
Yeah,
so it's pretty much. I don't know. So I mean, that's where I'm kind of like, all right, maybe Moncada will not be shitty. We'll see.
Hopefully,
I don't know. Like that would be my hope, at least if this was like to really go down. And I feel like I would much rather have this team than the team we currently have with the same revenue. So I mean,
yeah,
I don't exactly hope that they get rid of Garver. Of any of the guys that didn't do well last year, including Polanco, who's gone, Rojas, who did good defensively, but he still wasn't anything to rage about last season offensively. Garver's the one where I'm like, I could see him having a bounce back year because
he's done that his whole career.
Yeah, that's all he does. He does bad, then he does really good. And he does bad, and he's really good. And I'm hoping that maybe, just maybe, he won't be a total waste of money for two seasons, and we get the World Series, Mitch Garver that we crave, and then he would be our good DH. But Haniger, I'm kind of out on. I would rather see, I'd rather see Garver stay and Haniger go.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not exactly sure how that's possible. I don't mind.
You're going to be giving up some really big prospects. Is kind of where we're at to get Haniger off the books, I feel like.
Well, or we're
like,
getting
like maybe like two top tens in our system, probably.
That was the thing. I was kind of like, I don't know. I don't think we need to give up that much for. I don't think we need to give up two top tens for to get rid of him.
I would hope not, but
the return return would have to be really good if that was the case. Like, if you're giving up that level of talent, you need to have something big in return. I was thinking more of, hey, who really desperately needs an outfielder who possibly could have a bounce back season? Like, who had a terrible outfield? I mean, it's hard to say because there's not a lot of teams that seem to have just god awful outfields. And then teams that are like not serious about the playoffs. The team like Miami, because they traded so many people away, maybe. And then it's like, hey, we need some bullpen arms because we know we can develop pitching. So give us two bullpen arms that are $5 million each. Like, you're overpaying them or whatever. I don't know who that would be. This is all just top of my head. But then it's like, all right, they're just eating $6 million at that point. But we cleared $6 million and we have two relievers that we can brush up on and maybe develop and get them through. So I don't know. I hope Haniger goes.
I hope so too. I think is there a world where he has a bounce back year? Yes, sure. But like, not 17 whatever million dollars that we're paying him. It's not going to be nearly that much production anyways.
I'd be fine paying him a 1.7 mil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah, I agree. So I guess really quickly, I'll go through some of the changes on my lefty lineup.
Okay.
So once again, the top three is still Rosarena, Rodriguez, and Walker. For my lefty lineup, though, at number four, I'm switching and I'm putting Santana at number four because he crushed lefties last year. I think he had a 161 WRC plus against lefties last year, like absolutely crushed them. Yeah. So makes sense to put him in the fourth spot there. And then I'm putting Cal Raleigh behind him. Then Ha-Sung Kim's behind Raleigh. So at number six, having Max Kepler at number seven. So he goes down a little bit. And then I'm putting Patrick Wisdom in my eighth spot for third base. And then ninth is going to be Whit Merrifield at second base to round out the order. So I feel really solid, like one through six on both, really one through seven, because Kepler is my seventh on both. It's just those 8-9 spots are always going to be hairy, but that's every team for the most part has that problem. So I would say, I feel like this is a better team than what we're probably going to field, but
isn't that crazy? Like, it's so sad. Like, we took the same exact budget and with the same pitching.
Yeah.
And this is what we could have. And this is just going off of free agents for this season. This off season, not even like whoever you want. Like, this is just what would be available this year if we just had this budget and we replaced everybody. It's like, it's doable and it's so much better. And it's so frustrating. I mean, it's interesting to be in the shoes of like, all right, we can't get him. I'd really love to give him, but if we get him, can't get this other person. And it's all doable because it's all just signing people. It's not like we have to have another team agree to whatever it is that, you know, we're trying to propose. So it's interesting. You know, it would be fun. I don't know if this is possible, but if we were to put these rosters together on like MLB The Show and play it and see.
That would be cool. Yeah. See how that goes.
I wonder if we can do that.
I don't have I do have MLB The Show, but only the 2022 version. So, I don't know. It wouldn't be
telling me
up
I
to date.
To donate a game to you.
You don't have to do that. No. Right.
I don't have to. We have to figure this out.
But I will say, we need to contract someone to put a head to head and see who wins. So, we both get, who, whichever, I guess we could both pick what starting pitcher we want to use and then go from there. So that would be interesting.
I got Bryce Miller all day. I like that guy a lot.
Okay.
I'm very
biased. I'll figure out what your biggest weakness is, and I'll probably still put Logan Gilbert regardless.
So. Yeah, no, Logan Gilbert's the smart choice, but I like Bryce Miller. Like, I really
Miller's
like
the vibes Miller. Choice. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I like his little, like, you know, fidget when he's like, yeah, his ball, just like Kirby. Just they both do it. I like it. It's like small little things when you're watching this team. You're like, all right, you got whatever you're doing. It's weird, but I'm into it. You know,
I agree. Like, what's up? Yeah. So for sure.
Well, Jake, anything else before we sign off?
That's all I got, man. I think that's my roster, and I'm sticking to it.
Cool. We're an hour and 45 minutes into this. So it's been one hell of a podcast, dude. Thank you for joining me on this. You guys, I want to know down in the comments, please, which team would you rather have? Who would you rather have us pick up? If you guys look at contracts, who would you switch out in our little make-believe fantasy rosters for 2025 Mariners? And in the meantime, before you do that, go ahead and go down to the description, click the links, go check out Jake's channel, Raise the Trident. He's on YouTube, he's on X, and also Instagram. Is that correct?
And Blue Sky, and Blue Sky, and TikTok, and yeah, dude, I try all to get him out everywhere.
He's on that TikTok. So, all right, so yeah, please go subscribe, go like his channel, go check him out. Obviously, good guy, knows his baseball, likes to get into things and socialize with people. So if you're a Mariners fan, check him out. And again, like, subscribe. We will see you all on the next one. Later.
Thank you.